We are sinners saved by grace. Nothing that we can do. It is purely God's grace. Very fitting song for where we are today. In those last words of the creed, we talk about the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. And it reminds me of a very, very important lesson that we want to learn and we want to get. And that is this. Death does not have to be the end. Death does not have to be the end. It made me think about something. What is a guarantee and how is it backed? What is a guarantee and how it is backed? Now, I have to be honest with you. When I think about guarantees, I think back to Chris Farley, great comedian. And I think back to Tommy Boy. You remember Tommy Boy, the movie. He's out there trying to sell brake pads. He can't do it. He messes it up. Can't get it right. But he keeps going. He stumbles along. And it finally dawns on him about guarantees. And I love this scene where he goes to the guy and he says, "You want a guarantee? Here it is. It's written on the box. All you got to do is read it. Or do you want something of quality that you can trust?" See? We want something of quality that we can trust. We want to be able to trust the Word of God. The kids know it. I asked them what it was. God's Word. They know. And we know. Sometimes we forget, but we know. But God's Word is full of promises. And one of those promises is that we will not die when we die because death has been defeated. We have life eternal, life everlasting, resurrection. It's a promise. It's a guarantee. We have God's word about it. I think back to a lesson my mother taught me. She said, "Your word is your what? Bond. You give your word and it means something. Don't give your word lightly. It's important that we stand by our word." And I have to tell another story. And it's, I've been a little facetious with it, but I also was serious about it. I remember several years ago going to get a new car. We needed a new car. Grace and Johanna were young at that time, about the age of those that are here in church this morning. And we needed to get another vehicle. We had just the one car, and we decided we needed another car, kind of get not so confined. And so we went to a dealer. I won't mention the name. But we went, and I'd done my homework. We talked about it before. And so a salesperson came up real nice. We had a great conversation. And we started talking about the car. I said, "You sell me this car for this price today, I'll buy it." So I gave him a number. Well, he looked at it and said, "I got to go talk to my manager." I said, "Okay." So he went and talked to the manager, came back, said, "Could you put $100 down on it?" I said, "I gave you my word. You come back with this price and I will what? Do it." Now, my intent was to do what? Buy it. If this is the right number. So we couldn't agree on the right number. So I walked away. 3 days later, I got a call. I said, "I appreciate your call, but I already got a car." He said, "You get what you want?" I sure did. So, you know, your word means something. God's word means something. And there are guarantees all over the Bible. God keeps his promises, always does. So if you have your Bible with you, if you will turn to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, right after Deuteronomy. The book of Joshua, chapter 23. Now, in this passage, Joshua is getting up in age. And it's about the time he is near death. And so he's saying some farewell words to the various tribes of Israel. And so in chapter 23, verse 14 through 16, we hear some very assuring words. He says, "I am now going the way of the whole earth, and you know with all your heart and with all of your soul that none of the good promises the Lord your God made to you has failed." That's important. He's at the end of his life. He's reminding the people that none of the promises of God has failed. Now, we may not always feel close to God. We may sometimes ask God, "Where are you?" But the promises of God do not fail. "Since every good thing the Lord your God promised you has come about, so he will bring on you every bad thing until he has annihilated you from the good land the Lord has given you, if you," what? "Don't keep his word. If you break the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow in worship to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly disappear from this good land he has given you." You see, God does love us. He shows us mercy. He shows us grace. He shows us favor. But we are to worship him. He is to occupy first place in our lives. But we don't always see it that way, do we? We have other ideas sometimes. "Lord, I can help you out on this one." You ever tried to help the Lord out on something? It doesn't go well. The Lord is our God. We are to praise him, to serve him, and to share godly love. You know, we were talking about repentance and restoration today in Sunday school, and then we got to thinking about it. Man, but you got to forgive. Makes it hard, doesn't it? Makes it hard. And it has to reach into the heart. And all of us know it. And we experience it. We're not talking about stuff we don't know about. We know about this stuff. But God keeps his promises. That's what you want to remember. Now, the promises of God are further fulfilled in his son, Jesus. Remember when we went through the Gospel of John? We looked at seven I am statements. I am is the name for God in the Old Testament. Yahweh. I am. To be. Existence. God is. And in John, Jesus reminds us that I am the bread of life. Do we need daily bread? Yes. Do I need less of it? Yes. I got to work on that one. You know how it goes, you're kind of up and you're down and all that kind of stuff. So we'll see what happens. But daily bread, we need it for subsistence. And Jesus prays about it in the model prayer that he gives us. Light of the world, we are to be the light of the world as followers of Jesus. We are to be that light which shines. I was listening to a sermon on the way in this morning. Guy was talking about going to the Luray Caverns and going down in there and descending down into the earth. And for about, he guessed it was about 30 seconds or so, they turned out all the lights and you were in total darkness. Anybody ever been in that feeling of total darkness? That's different, isn't it? A whole lot of different. You have to trust. I'll give you another story. Animals amaze me. The trust that they have. If we could just trust like some of these animals. The reason I say that, about 6 weeks ago, a dog that we have went blind for just no reason. I mean, the retinas just deteriorated. Well, at the place we're staying, there is two sets of steps and a landing and a steps. And you've got to go out 3 or 4 times a day, and even in the dark of night. That dog did every time. Every time you watch him, you might have to pounce on the floor a little bit or give a little tug. But you talk about trust. Man, would you want to go down 2 flights of stairs and can't see what you're doing? Man, we don't even want to do it when we can see what we're doing. Trust. Trust. The light of the world. Jesus said, I'm the door. I protect you. I guard what comes in, and also what goes out. Boy, what a promise. What a gift that is given to us. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Who are we being asked to shepherd and disciple in Jesus' name? We've been shepherded. May we pass it on. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those of us who believe and trust in Jesus, though we die, we will not die, but we will live what? Forever. We don't go to that second death. That's a promise. That's an assurance. We don't like to think about death, but guess what? It's going to happen. Unless Jesus, what? Comes back and gets us first. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I thought about that when I hit that 70. I thought, things are getting a little closer. I might better talk to some people. You know, it happens. But we don't have to fear it. No, I shake that too hard. That thing ain't made too good. We don't have to fear it. Might come tumbling down. We don't have to fear it. It's part of life. Because, see, for believers, we go from death into life. What a turnaround. What a blessing. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, the world we live in today doesn't want to hear that. The world we live in today says there are many ways, and you can earn some of them. Not according to God's word. Jesus said, I am the way. Not one way, the way. I am not one truth, I am the truth. And I am the source of life. Why? Because he's also the true vine, and we're the what? Branches. And you cut us off, what happens? You don't replant it. Boom. It's over. Jesus is our guarantee of a full life on earth and for eternal life. So turn, if you would, to John 14 and let's look at verses 1 through 4. We've heard these verses many, many times. And And a lot of times I think we forget just exactly what Jesus is saying here. Don't let your heart be troubled. Do our hearts get troubled? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. So do we have to worry about there being no room at the end? No, the room's there. And it can have your name on it. In my house, Father's house, are many rooms. If not, I would have told you. I am going away to prepare a place for you. If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. So when we close our eyes for the last time, who's there? Jesus. If we look up in the sky one day, we might see Jesus what? Coming. Either way, who's there? Jesus. Jesus is the one that's there. And then he says, you know the way where I'm going. Of course, Thomas has to have a little more explanation, and Jesus gives it to him. But we know the way. We know the way. So there are many rooms. And you know, Jesus didn't leave us alone. Yeah, he's at the right hand of the Father right now. He is in heaven with the Father. But we've been given the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and it dwells within us. Jesus asks us to be Christ-like, to be examples of light and love and grace and mercy, and to live Spirit-filled lives. Because the power of God and of Jesus resides within us through the Holy Spirit. Never underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. It's real. It's not some ghost. It's real. And then we're promised the resurrection of the body. Everlasting life. Why? Two things. Jesus, on this cross, conquered sin and what else? Death. Sin and death, both conquered. Now, Paul, in a passage in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we could have spent the whole message today on 1 Corinthians 15. But I want to give you just one excerpt from this passage where Paul really lays out what's at issue. So kind of open your mind, open your ears, open your heart, and really hear what Paul is saying here, because he lays it out really clearly. So 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 20. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? Pretty straightforward, right? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been what? Raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is in vain. And so is your faith. In other words, if this ain't real, we all wasting our time. Every one of us. If this isn't the truth, why in the world are we here? You could be out at the beach. You could be at the golf course. You could be fishing. You could be driving a race car. You could be doing anything you wanted to do. But we chose to be what? Here. Moreover, we are found to be false witnesses about God because we have testified wrongly about God that He raised up Christ. What that's saying is, if there is no resurrection of Jesus, we've made God out to be a what? A liar. God doesn't lie. Because we have testified wrongly about God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Those then who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. If we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone. But, as it is, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. God keeps His promises. Jesus did what He came to this earth to do. Jesus will return again. We are to proclaim the gospel. We are to share the good news. We are to practice love, grace, mercy, forgiveness. We are to make no differences, for God loves us all, and we share God's love unconditionally because He first loved who? Us. He first loved us. So when we think back on this Apostles' Creed, it reminds us of some very important things. First, God the Father is almighty. There is no one greater than God. It ain't me, and it ain't you. God. Jesus is the Messiah and our high priest. We have been given the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Jesus will judge the living and the dead. See, we forget that God is a God of love, but a God of also judgment and justice. I think the thing that messes us up is we confuse God's justice with human justice. I don't want human justice. I want God's justice every time. And we are also told that we will experience the resurrection and eternal life. Those are God's promises to each one of us. And those are the promises that we share. We cannot earn our way. We cannot save ourselves. And as the song said, we are simply what? Sinners. Saved by grace. That's it. In a nutshell, that's it. That's the whole picture. We are sinners saved by grace, but we have been given the charge to share the good news, to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth, to mentor new believers, and to be faithful kingdom builders. Are we up for the task? I see some smiles. I think God would say what? Amen.